Welcome back to another Co-opticast. This is Co-opticast, episode number 114. It's Monday, October the 7th, 2013. It's been a while since we've done one of these things. It's been surprisingly quiet, especially in terms of co-op news. So I don't know if anybody joined us for our streaming. We streamed some Risk of Rain last time.
Never again. No, you're thinking of Revelations 2012.
Yes. Yeah, we also streamed some Revelations 2012. That's right. So hopefully you guys joined us for some of that. We're going to be doing more streaming stuff over the course of whatever you want to call it. And yeah, there's a Q&A section now on our Google Plus page while we're broadcasting. So
I asked a question.
Mike Katsu Frakis from Portland, Oregon wants to know, how sexy is Locke? Mm. Locke, how sexy are you?
Well, seeing as I'm still in my work clothes, which consists of sweatpants and a hoodie,
nice.
I'd say
yeah.
I'm about as sexy as a mother-in-law. Take that however you will.
Okay. I'm sexy as a mother-in-law.
Locke, I'm not happy right now.
Well, in your sexy attire, what games have you been playing, Locke?
I finally got to play online Grand Theft Auto 5, or as the kids call it, GTA Online. Yeah, the servers were bork for me, getting the endless loading screen, and finally, yeah, tried it today, and it's pretty fun. Hopped on there, did the tutorial. You start by doing, four or five missions of being like, this is what you can do on GTA Online, and then you eventually have all the abilities to, start a heist, start a race, go buy all clothing and weapons and such. And it's cool. It's fun. You're plopped into a world, unless you state you want to be in a solo world. You're plopped into a world populated by other people, and yeah, they will gun you down. They will run you over. They don't like to cooperate all that much unless you force them into a heist mission. But so I tried to stay out of the open world area because it was more like sort of Mad Max or Los Angeles, I guess. It was just realistic Los Angeles. But this one gentleman, I forget what his name was. I think it was like Carl something 45. He shot me. Now, if you're listening, Carl blank 45.
Not cool.
He shot me. No, not cool, because he shot me while I was like getting a haircut. I like came out of the haircut store and the haircut store, the barber shop. and proceeded to shoot me. But then they have this handy little UI thing where you can tag a person that's currently online and they will blink on your map. So I proceeded to spend the next 10 minutes chasing him, finding his location, and then running him over with my car to teach him a lesson, and I was quite happy with myself.
Did the car blow up when you tried to hit him?
No, car didn't blow up. He was like hanging out beside a dumpster, probably because he lived there, and I just smoked him. And then I drove away, and then he tried to come get me, and I went into a mission, and then that was the end of that. But death matches are pretty... Actually, for a GTA sort of third person, not really a shooter, but for an open world game, the death match is pretty fun. It's pretty hilarious to see everyone's costumes, and there's lots of verticality to the levels, and obviously you can get in vehicles, which changes it. And then the heists, I think, are the best thing in that, where you do different things like rob a bank or steal these cars or get this meth. And that's, you get eight people, eight of your friends, your crew, and that's a riot. So I'm looking forward to getting a group.
Did you get to play any tennis or perhaps hang glide?
No, I haven't done any of that.
Any leisure activities?
No, I haven't done any of the after school sports or anything. I've only done the like hardcore gang banging stuff. So I robbing meth dealers and such. So, but it's fun.
You're saying tennis isn't mad balling?
Well, it depends. Sometimes they don't let you. They have a dress code, so I can't just like roll.
Can you get sniped while you're playing tennis?
That'd be pretty cool.
That's hardcore.
I don't know.
You gotta dodge bullets while ace in your
you know, you could have four people with pistols and four people with golf clubs and play a foursome and see how that goes.
In the single player game, you can go golfing and murder people with your driver. So, mm-hmm.
So I would assume so. Nothing is sacred in Los Santos. And other than that,
I just don't think that I don't think the deathmatch is very fun in online.
Well, it's kind of unnecessary.
The aiming scheme in that game is it's snap aiming, so yeah. It's less I'm good at shooting and more I saw you first.
I'm good at left triggering. So you, in that case, you have to play a lot more positionally and a lot less like trying to aim better than the other guy, because it doesn't matter. You both hit the left trigger and it just magnets to the other dude. So, but yeah, definitely, like I said, the heists are the better activity to do in there. The races are mm-hmm. are fine, but once you get ahead in a race, it's really hard to screw up and lose. Like, I mean, unless somebody like I didn't do a race. I don't think you can shoot in the races, but I did a race and like. Once you get ahead of the pack, you're gone. And same with being in last. Like, once you're in last, unless the people sort of in the middle start to crash into each other, which they do, you're going to be in last.
Especially in the air races.
Yeah, the air races are just silly. So, Grand Theft Auto Online, I'm looking forward to trying more, and especially playing with a bigger group. I only had, like, one more friend on, so I'm curious to see if you roll as, like, a four or, like, eight people or something. Because a lot of the activity.
What platform are you playing on?
I'm playing on the Xbox 360, made by Microsoft. So, you can holler at me in the Co-Optimus crew. I think there's about, I don't know, like 40 people in that crew, which is, you know, pretty good. There's other crews with like 10,000 people, but whatever. We still roll hard.
Seems appropriate.
So yeah, you could probably get online now with the servers. I don't know. Try it.
Good.
Other than that, just a little bit of Guild Wars. They put out a new dungeon thing for October, and it brings back one of the characters from the story. That game's still fun. It's really good. The new content is very difficult, and you need a competent party of five to roll in that. So keep that in mind if you're looking to, I just want to dabble in.
Because you're incompetent.
But the rest of the game is awesome.
Dabbling allowed.
Well, you can. Like, literally, if you try and go with, like, four people and then a random, if the random doesn't know what they're doing, like, you'll get wiped. Which, especially at those high-level dungeons, like, it doesn't kid around. So, I was messing around a bit, and they actually implemented a look for group option finally after I don't know a year, but it's pretty cool. You can say what dungeon you want. It doesn't have to be a dungeon. It can just be like story quests, or it can be roam around, or you can do specific dungeons, and that's super handy because if you roll solo, which I know a lot of people do in MMOs, you can party up and do that multiplayer content. So
cool.
Yeah, Guild Wars 2 still going strong, and not too much other than that Revelations 2012 game, which is ridiculous and I don't want to talk about, so I'll let someone else talk about it.
Alright, Jason, well, you played some Revelations 2012. Do you want to give your two cents on it, or what?
The F key makes you dance. That's my review. Yeah. It's,
5 out of 5.
It's, you know, a Left 4 Dead original skin mod.
The problem isn't so much that the F key makes you dance, it's that the G key activates stuff and picks up stuff, and that the accidental F key press
that's amazing
occurs.
I don't know
far
why
too often.
I mean, really, F for dance. F has, there's no letter in dance that is F.
Are you sure it's not frolic?
Frolic, yeah.
Slash frolic.
You only bust a move for sure.
Know. So it's
Flash Dance. Flash Dance. That's what it is.
That could work. All right. Judges will allow it. So anyways, it's basically Left 4 Dead mod. I mean, instead of brain-hungry zombies, you have heart-eating Mayans, I guess.
Crazed Mayans, yeah.
In some history books.
And, you know, in order to get health back after you kill them, you eat their hearts, so
it's like the
it's
darkness.
Interesting,
cool.
Yeah. But it's more funny and amusing if you're one of those people who just loves bad games. There's a lot of good laughs in there to be had. We streamed it recently, and you can watch the YouTube of it. We'll make it, like, appear here magically somewhere in the middle of an audio podcast where you can link to it.
There we go.
This is a video podcast too, bro.
But just for the people who are enjoying this orally, with an A-U. So you team up with a bunch of people. Yeah. You go around through different missions of a level, just like you do in Left 4 Dead. And you get to different objectives. You collect crystal skulls instead of whatever you got in Left 4 Dead cans of gasoline.
Is there treasure knowledge?
Their knowledge is treasure.
No. I was a lawyer.
There are just random outbursts of stuff from the characters that make no sense. And like, both male characters sound like they're straight out of a 70s porn movie, so, you know, there's that. Like I said, there's a lot of good humor if you like bad games. But, so, you know, check that out. Or not.
No, or don't. Not. No, don't. Don't tell people to check it out. What are you talking about?
Hang around with a bunch of friends in a Google Hangout one night and hope someone is foolhardy enough to buy a phone
exactly.
And gift it to you.
That's way smarter.
Just have that one guy in chat who's recently moved and who's just like, man, I love bad games. Let's get on this. That just sways over everyone. Yeah.
I think we got our $5 worth.
I had to pay full price for the thing.
How much is a full price?
15 or something
bucks,
like that.
It
is.
No way. Oh,
I can't believe you
paid
money for that, Jason.
The things I do for this website.
Well, Locke, to be fair, when you heard that it might have seen
you were all over it.
Yeah. Contemplated that.
I could probably, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know how much they go for, but if I could get like a drunk Aztec warrior trading card, I'd be all over that.
That'd be the featured badge on your account.
Oh, I wouldn't take it off.
Aside from that, though, just some more Borderlands 2 on the PS3 and some more Risk of Rain. Feels like just kind of in a lull, waiting for what's around the corner.
Yeah.
Pokemon.
Exactly. Yeah. All of the Pokemans.
Today or out?
Risk of Rain get an update at all?
I don't think it's got an update yet because they're not pushing out anything until the final release at this point.
Cool. Okay.
I remember, I think on their site and talking with a guy, he basically said that right now it's so close to being done that they just want to finish it and push it instead of get another beta out there.
Awesome.
So.
No, that's cool. I'm excited for that game.
I'm looking forward to it. That game surprised me with how much I liked it.
It's dope. Really fun. I was surprised as well. And that's why Indiana Co-op exists. Thank you. I justified my existence.
No, Jason, you're welcome. Yes.
All right, Mike, what have you been playing?
I have been playing not a whole hell of a lot, except Grand Theft Auto the 5th. It doesn't work as well as Saints Row the 3rd, fine, but...
No.
So Grand Theft Auto 5, I've been playing a bunch of that.
Nice.
Spent the past week trying to play GTA Online, and I didn't get in until Saturday night for about an hour, at which point I did a bunch of the tutorial activities like Locke was talking about, and then I got griefed repeatedly by a guy, and in one of my co-op sessions... I had someone with an open mic blaring bad rap music.
Amazing.
I actually thought it was just like a fucked up radio in the car we were all driving, but no, it was actually some dude.
It just goes meta on you. It's just all...
Here's the thing. GTA Online is really fun. There's a lot of potential, but unfortunately, GTA Online... Playing it is kind of like willingly subjecting yourself to hanging out with 14-year-olds.
I thought that was a lot of
and
games.
not in the Call of Duty, the, you know, oh, I fucked your mom type, but just like, I think it's going to be really funny to just drive this car into a wall repeatedly when there are, like, five other people trying to get somewhere. And it's just a griefer's paradise. And luckily, you can opt out of all the, like, in-game PvP until you get into some missions. So it's got a lot of potential. It's absurd the amount of content there is in it. It's kind of daunting, and we'll talk about it later, but the server issues have really, like, marred my ability to enjoy it. Like, my first big session I ever got, I ended with a disconnect, and if you get disconnected from GTA Online, it dumps you into the single-player game, which is a five-minute load.
It takes a while. Because you gotta zoom up.
GTA 5 itself takes 5 minutes to load once you start it.
Yeah.
There's no load times in the game,
but
once it's going, but it's kind of, you start it up and you're like, I'm going to make a sandwich. I'm going to eat that sandwich and probably finish this beer before I can play this game.
The game has so a lot it of sounds like it's just basically it saying you in the right mind frame to prepare yourself for what you're getting into.
Pretty much. But the game itself is, it's hard to compare it to other open world stuff because GTA is still a GTA game. It hasn't really, like, it's evolved, but it's still very much the same type of game it's been forever. So when you get things like Crackdown and the Saints Row games and Assassin's Creed, Infamous, stuff like that, where they go out of their way to, like, empower you to basically be superhuman, and GTA still, you're still a dude in a car. Driving everywhere gets kind of tedious real quick. Especially after playing Saints Row 4, when you could basically jump the entire distance of the map if you wanted to. The strength of those games has always been, you know, especially, you know, once they start taking a lot of the sillier stuff out, has been the writing and the actual missions. Missions are pretty well put together. I've liked pretty much everything I've played. The game can get a little uncomfortable with the subject matter at times, but that's for everyone to make their own judgment call. It hasn't bothered me a whole terrible amount, but I'm pretty much desensitized to that stuff, which makes it probably worse.
You have no moral compass.
It's solid. Like, the best character is also the character that is the, like, you don't want anyone else around when you're playing as Trevor. Let's say, Locke knows what's up.
Yeah,
he's pretty awful, but it's fun. You know, it sold 15 million copies, so I don't really need to recommend it to anybody. Everyone who wants it's probably already gotten it. So, on the exact opposite of the spectrum, I picked up Wind Waker HD for the Wii U.
Nice,
and that game is still great. They've tweaked it quite a bit. There's a lot of stuff has been changed to streamline it. So let's say that there's a quest that comes around the midpoint of the game that everyone says, this is crap. They basically cut the amount of stuff you do in that quest in half. And, once you get the fast sail, the wind is always at your back and your ship moves twice as fast.
Beauty.
So, you know, it's some good changes. It's absolutely gorgeous. It's one of the best looking games I've seen in a long time. Just the achievement in art direction in that game was always really good, and it looks even better than before. Remember how when you played like Halo Anniversary and you're playing it and you're like, this looks really nice, but it looks pretty much like I remember Halo looking, and then you switch over to what Halo really looked like and you're like, oh wait, hold on. Wind Waker HD it's much the same. It makes it look like you remember it looked, but it actually looks a ton better. It's super fun, and I'm helping Locke out with some of the Halloween stuff. So I'm playing through the first person adventure horror game Anna, which is
how's that going?
I'm about halfway through it. It's pretty low budget, but it's pretty good. I understand that the I'm playing the extended edition of the game. There was a regular release that was apparently super marred with bugs, and I got a showstopper bug within the first 5 minutes of playing the extended edition, so that stuff probably hasn't been ironed out completely. But it's cool. It does it is just an adventure game. It's kind of Myst-like in that nothing makes a goddamn lick of sense. It's just kind of the vibe. Like, stuff happened in this place and you're exploring it, but nothing is really actively happening as you play it. But the house you're exploring, like, changes and shifts around you, and it kind of borrows a little bit of the insanity effects from, you know, stuff like Eternal Darkness. There's about the midpoint of the game, there's a fucked up statue you find that starts following you randomly, and I've gotten a good couple jump scares out of that thing, so it's a
you go in the kitchen.
Solid,
hey, buddy, can you get me a sandwich?
Well, it's one of those things where you're like, I'm looking over here, and then I look over here for a second. I look back, and all of a sudden, there's this giant statue like staring me in the face.
Don't blink.
Like, oh my goodness! Don't blink. What is that?
Yeah, don't blink.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool, and that's about all I've been playing.
Cool. I haven't been playing a lot of anything, but I've been playing a lot of
stuff,
things, just like small dabbles here and there. I played a bit of Takedown when it first came out. Takedown Red Saber. I was pretty disappointed with that. They had some severe online issues. I managed to get in like I think two or three random sessions, but the server browser rarely showed anything, and when it did, it didn't connect or didn't do anything. Locke and I tried to connect a couple times using direct IP and some other stuff, and it just...
It's not done, man. It's not done.
So, yes, Steam integration didn't work. The game itself, it's cool. it looks good, and it definitely has that hardcore vibe to it, but the AI had some serious issues as well. You know, you'd shoot near a guy, and he wouldn't move. You'd have to get within that bounding box of wake up radius kind of a thing. And
is there any kind of a PvP in that game?
Yeah, there is. There's team-based kind of modes. There's like a bomb defusal one, I believe, and like a capture the flag one. There's also, in terms of co-op, you know, there's the five missions or whatever there is, and then there's also like terrorist hunt modes and some other stuff. But again, like, at least as of about a week ago, the stuff was still shoddy and not working. So
that's super unfortunate, because that's such a solid idea for a genre that's not misrepresented. But there hasn't been a Rainbow Six game in a while, so
seriously,
yeah.
So it's perfect timing to have. It's okay that it's a budget title. It doesn't have to be this big multi-million-dollar thing. But really, it isn't finished. It's not done.
Yeah.
Like, between AI issues, these server issues, and I want to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I mean, even after the interview that you talked with Nick, like, the server, you can't connect to games. It's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So
hey, Nick, you want to go to that podcast?
That's what this is resorting to.
And sadly,
I was looking through my retro or my old PC games the other day, and I stumbled across that, and I said, should I install this?
No. No, you should.
Probably not.
No. Yeah.
But
let's see. What else have we been playing? Revelations, like Jason said, we kind of played a bit of that the other night.
What's wrong with you people?
Please.
Locke is just upset because he didn't get any cards for it, so.
The Battlefield 4 beta. And play a couple rounds of that. That's pretty cool. There's definitely some new elements that make it interesting. You know, the big thing was the destruction. So, like, there's the Shanghai map has this giant skyscraper right in the middle. And there's actually a strategic advantage to not destroying it. So when it gets destroyed, you're kind of, that capture point becomes pretty vulnerable because it's kind of right in the middle and everything kind of looks down on it. So it definitely adds some stuff to it. For that, and The cool thing about the map too is the water, like the water kind of integrates into it, so you have dedicated water vehicles, but as well as some of the craft that are on land and can go in the water too. So it's, you know, 64 players, that thing, it is definitely all out warfare.
That's silly.
Are you playing the PC beta, or is that even?
Yeah, the PC beta.
How does it look? That's what I want to know.
It looks pretty damn good.
Good.
Yeah, I mean, I can't quite max everything on it online, but it runs good otherwise, and
runs well, Nick. Runs well.
Sorry. Thank you for correcting me.
It runs real good on my machine.
I'm sure for the Battlefield audience, they're going to notice. So.
What else have I been playing? Diablo 3 on console, and I guess the game I've spent the most time with is Shadow Warrior, the reboot.
I am super interested in this.
I have discount coupons if you want it. I don't know.
I just
want to
know because, like Mike, I probably could find that stupid Shadowrun CD, or not Shadowrun, the Shadow Warrior CD. Because it was the game after Duke where you're like, oh, there's going to be boobs and swears.
You want to wash Wang?
Yeah. Wash Wang.
But yeah, made by the Hard Reset guys.
Yeah, so it's actually, unlike, I wasn't a big fan of the Hard Reset game. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought it was just kind of average, but I think they do some really cool stuff in this. The swordplay works really well. There's a whole character development thing in terms of you can pick powers to upgrade and learn new moves, and it's pretty funny. There's definitely some good one-liners, and they don't overdo the Wang jokes.
It's a missed opportunity in games.
They actually do just funny jokes in general, and nice. There's like fortune cookies you can pick up for health, and when you pick them up, there's like random stuff in it, and there's some pretty good things in there. I guess the only thing I'd say is a downside to the game is that the sword is so much fun to use that you tend to not use the guns and stuff.
Forget about your SMGs.
I mean, there's certain parts where you definitely need to pick them up, but and the game looks gorgeous. I mean, it's really, really pretty. But yeah, so that's basically been all I've been playing. Hmm. Let's move on to some news.
I have one last question, actually, and this is going back to Battlefield.
Yeah,
does it still launch out of a web browser?
It does. Yes.
That was the worst part about Battlefield 3.
It's a little bit smoother, and apparently the full version is going to, what they did is, using Origin, have the in-game web browser, basically use the Origin web browser to do it, so
fantastic.
You don't have to, like, you don't have to basically, like, you know how it basically tabs in and out, like,
yeah,
all tabs?
Awful.
It won't do that anymore.
Great.
So you're saying Battlefield 4 is a browser game.
But they don't have, as far as I can tell, they don't have
that Unity
that,
plugin. Jeez,
that crappy. There's no plugin now because it doesn't have like that crappy party system that was tied to the browser and stuff like that anymore. The chat and everything is all built into the game, so that at least is better. It's just the server browser essentially is out outside of it, and I guess it also integrates with there's a tablet app for it. And you can kind of do stuff through there because I haven't tried it yet. But I think the commander mode kind of integrates with that too. If you want to use the tablet for the commander mode, if you wanted to,
you wear a Bluetooth headset and the tablet and just command everything.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway,
commanding an army of 14-year-olds. Jeez, what are you supposed to do with
not
that?
A whole lot?
You tell them capture. Point Alpha. Ah, go fuck yourself.
The thing is, like, you know,
Roger.
When you do play with people who are serious about it, like people actually, it's awesome.
Oh,
it's really
insane.
Cool.
There's nothing like it when you have a battle of that scale and people know what they're doing.
The helicopter stuff, like they've gotten really good with it with the helicopters in the game. So like you'll see like guys basically go up to skyscrapers, pick up a bunch of people, come down, swoop them, drop them into like another rooftop, go back, like basically running like drop in missions like that. So it's cool. And again, the sound design is just phenomenal. Like the sound in that
That's
game
awesome.
Is
sweet.
Whoa, look at this. We got a question.
Oh,
woo-hoo. Why isn't everyone... This is from Amy.
My friend Amy.
She asks, why isn't everyone wearing one color? <That's> a...
We don't exactly
notice.
Assholes on the right are wearing black. Come over here and wear the actual company colors.
That's right.
It's I don't know. This is what my mom told me to put on this morning. That's why I'm wearing red.
Funny enough, this is what Locke's mom told me to put on this morning too. I don't know how that works.
Mom jokes.
Remember what he said about the assholes wearing the dark color, Jason? Stop proving his point.
Let's talk about gaming news, and we kind of hit on it already. GTA Online had some serious launch issues.
Yes.
I guess it was about a full week since it launched until it was even playable. Most people couldn't get in, and they sat on loading screens. And a big patch went out Friday/Saturday for PS3 on Friday, 360, I think, on Saturday. And while I guess it fixed a lot of things, it also broke some other stuff. Namely, characters were getting wiped.
Except they would get wiped and then they would come back, but you would have made a character in the same slot and it would try and sync it back, and it would screw up both your characters.
Yeah. Womp, so it got kind of ugly.
Was that tweet from Rockstar the real thing, where they're like, guys, the servers are busted, go get off your fat asses and do something? Is that true?
I don't know. I've been running into the brunt of the online issues. I tried to play it day one, didn't work. I tried playing it day two, didn't work. I tried playing it day three, I was able to create a character, then I got immediately disconnected.
Does your character
play it day four? Didn't work. Day five, got in, had to remake my character, played for an hour, got disconnected, haven't been back.
I think it's pretty amazing that, I mean, the game sold 15 million copies, right, on the two platforms. So even if 30% of those people tried to play online, that's 5 million people.
that's a fair number. And that's a lot of people. When you were online for that 1 hour, did you notice anything? And I'm pulling off of another question that Amy has asked us now. Is it teams? Does it denote some kind of team structure within GTA Online?
Not while you're rolling around. The only way you can know is if you're wearing your gang colors. So if you fools roll up wearing black, I'm going to blow, blow, blow inside your head.
What if I just want to be friends?
Then you wear charcoal gray.
Damn. I'm all out.
What's next, Nick?
All right, let's go to the next story. Baldur's Gate 2 Enhanced Edition is on its way, which is kind of surprising because I don't know if you guys remember, but the first Baldur's Gate Enhanced Edition ran into some legal issues.
Yeah.
But when this news hit the the old version, or the old new version, hit a Steam sale. It was on sale for like $3, the Enhanced Edition. So I don't know if you guys picked it up or not.
I picked up the iPad version when it came out.
Yeah,
I prefer the 5 discs. Very well.
I should. But, we saw that demo of the iPad version at PAX. I'm like, I would really like to play this on my iPad, but it looks kind of janky. And then 6 months passed, and then I picked it up, and it was butt. So I stopped playing it.
Yeah, so Baldur's Gate 2 is that was my favorite one of the series, or the better of the. Of the ones I always thought. So I'm kind of stoked about this. And it's coming out soon, actually November 15th. So it's only about a month away. And
looking forward
to it. So yeah, that's good news. It's going to have co-op as well, just like the first one did.
It's also a way better game, if you ask me.
Yeah. two really is. Warface. You guys got your Warfaces on?
Is that the same as an old
It's face? Coming to the 360.
This is my war face.
Complete and total apathy is always Mike's war face.
Yeah.
But yeah, war face sense is coming. Of entitlement is actually my war face. If we must be specific.
You Americans need better war faces.
We got all the wars. Why do we need better war faces?
Yeah.
What happens if you get drafted?
That can't right, happen.
Let's talk about the Warface.
Okay, what is this game?
Free-to-play game. Another one coming to 360 along with World of Tanks that was announced at E3. Warface, which is by Crytek.
Mm-hmm.
Wait,
is it by Crytek?
Yep.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
They make Crysis or the CryEngine and stuff. But yeah, it's been out actually in Russia for quite some time. It hit the PC in beta form a couple months ago, and then they kind of shut it down again. And this is in, like, I think North America and Europe.
Why Russia?
And I don't know.
Isn't Crytek German?
I don't know. I just I
Eastern Front
what
was
I read
a terrible battle, and there's still static between those nations.
But yeah.
Also, you can still get drafted in the U.S. They just don't do it right now. Just
there
saying.
You go.
I filled out my selective service card. I'm totally derailing this talk.
Wrong. Didn't type double tops. Next issue.
Yes. Anyway, there's going to be a beta for it. You can sign up at the Warface official site. Warfish. I played a little bit of it at, I want to say, PAX
last year. It was PAX
last
year.
Okay,
we sat
yeah.
on the boat and sniped people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I did play a bit of the beta. And actually, this is another one of those games that launches from a browser. So, Mike could be happy about that.
Look, that's his thrilled face.
Yeah.
This is my thrilled face.
Let's talk about another shooter that Mike was always thrilled with, and that's the Killzone series. Killzone Shadowfall. It's been announced that it... Yep, famous facepalm ending. It has a
it's the perfect ending to that game!
It's coming as a co-op mode is coming as DLC for post-launch. Sounds like it's basically survival mode. If you get the season pass, it's included. There's no pricing, though, on whether it's... if you wanted to just buy it separate or not. If you want to... One of the interesting things about this... we got a story going up, I think, tomorrow, actually. They announced how big the game is in terms of... Since, you know, everything's digital only. 50 gig download.
Can't fit it on a Blu-ray, right?
Just 50 gig.
To the gills.
Wow. Yeah. It's going to take a while. Luckily, the PS4 does do that streaming technology, so you won't have to wait for the entire thing to start downloading or to finish downloading to play
it. Still.
But still, that's...
So what you're saying is
chunk.
In the near future, let's say in the fall season when you might buy 5 or 6 games for yourself, you're going to butt up against your Comcast monthly data limit after yeah. buying, like, 3 or 4 games?
Well yeah. Well, not only that, you're at 50 gig, and that's 10% of the PlayStation 4's available hard drive space already.
You
know, who knows how much space is the system itself is going to take up. So you're probably, you know, buying one game, you're already 1/5 of your way through your storage.
Well, so. Luckily not every game is going to be out there flaunting its e-peen about how big the install
size
is.
Yeah, about how big it is, yeah.
Most people consider a large install size to be an example of the inefficiency of the people who put it together. And not say, oh, they have a lot of assets.
Mike, it's not how large your install is, it's how you use it.
That's what they keep telling
us. Is that what
so.
They tell you?
That's what they say.
And
so let's talk
there
about, let's
is a penis joke. GTA...
It's only appropriate for this story to end with a facepalm. Let's move on.
So Star Citizen, I've been following this. I'm a backer. They just crossed $20 million in backer funding.
Can you walk around your spaceship yet?
I can, yeah. I can walk around my hangar. I can get in my spaceship. I can look at some stuff and... There. So, what's different about Star Citizen? People that don't know is post. So they had two sets of kickstarting. Essentially, they were on Kickstarter, and they also did funding from their site itself. And I want to say it closed about $14 million, somewhere around there. But since that time, they've been selling add-ons. Essentially, you can buy more ships. You can buy, I don't know. There's a ton of stuff that you can contribute and get, And so in that time period that they raised over another $6 million for, and if you don't know, it is a online space game, real flying kind of, we're not talking Eve, we're talking, you know,
Wing Commander.
Right. But what's interesting now, so when it crossed the $20 million threshold, they actually, they're adding a first person mode in terms of, you can actually get out of your ship and there's like shooting elements to it. So they were talking about like, for contested areas and stuff, you'll be able to kind of land, get out. There'll be first person shooting kind of stuff and you can get back in. And
can I shoot cat people?
I don't know if there will be cat people in
can
it.
Can I travel to New Detroit?
I don't know.
All I want is Privateer, and now it's... I didn't think this many people liked Privateer.
Privateer is amazing.
One of the... I want to say the $19 million threshold was like a ton more elements being added in terms of like Privateer trading and resources and... It's pretty insane how much stuff is going in this, and I really like Mike kind of alluded to it. He asked if I could walk around my ship and stuff. What they did is they released stuff real early, so they're like, all right, we got this little thing, we got our infrastructure in place, let's get this out to our people to kind of play with. And now, like, I have all I need essentially to get in the game in the future, and this thing's just going to keep updating itself, and they're going to keep adding features to it, and eventually, like, the next set. Which is supposed to be, I think, in January, they'll add a dogfighting mode to it. So I'll be able to jump into my hangar, actually get in my ship, and then go and, you know, test out the combat and how that feels and stuff. And then down the road a little bit more, they'll actually add it that I can, you know, go to a space station and start doing some of the more, you know, open world kind of elements and stuff. So, yeah, really looking forward to seeing where Star Citizen
it's
goes.
It's very close to 21 million right now.
Yeah, so it's running on CryEngine. We talked about Crytek earlier. It's running on Cry. I mean, it looks amazing. The ship, like the details on the ships, is just, it's ridiculous. Like the models and stuff. It definitely, just the ship and the hangar makes my system chug. So,
is this a case where, since I only paid for the low tier ship, you're gonna come in with a ship that has like three bays with my ships inside of your ship, like?
I'm kind of going left out. Like his ship will just fire dildo bats at you. That's what he paid for.
I want to fire tachyon cannons. I don't want dildo bats.
So you can, well, there's multiple ways you can pay real monies now and buy other ships, right? Which some of them are ridiculously expensive. Like I think one's like $150.
See,
like real
silly.
Real money to buy the ship.
Yeah, but aren't there like limited amounts? Didn't they put some kind of artificial scarcity on it too? It's like
some of
we're
them
only going to sell
caps.
1,000 of these. Better give us money.
But you can, once the game comes out and you start, you know, getting resources and completing missions and stuff, you eventually be able to buy ships with the in-game currency and stuff. So they kind of blend these, like, you know, they're using everything here. They've got the free-to-play model going, they've got the kickstarting model going, they got the traditional stuff going.
Connect your Facebook account for 50,000 space bucks.
Yeah, it's interesting, so.
I can't wait to play it. I didn't really agree with how they chose to fund.
Yeah.
That initial funding, the more you pay, the better ship you start out with, didn't sit really well with me, because a lot of people, like, I'll pay $100 for a game, but I want to know that that game is going to be worth $100 before I blindly throw you that much money. Yeah, and I love Chris Roberts' games. I've loved everything he's made, pretty much, so it's not that I expect it to be bad, it's just, it was so ambitious and it was so far off. It just feels real.
Well, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid because I can't wait. I'm timing a computer upgrade. I'm buying the Oculus Rift. I'm going all out, man.
Is Oculus Rift support for this.
Oh yeah, yeah. That was that's being added as well. So I'm there.
I can't wait. You guys, I will be all over it. Probably like when it's like a couple months away, then I might go and look and see what kind of ship I can pre-order.
Yeah.
Or whatever, but I'm gonna let that one sit for now, I think.
Yeah, me too. I just want to hunt pirates, that's it.
Alright, so final news item. I guess we can kind of say it's somewhat moving on to the feature stuff. Last week, Chris and I, we headed down to Philadelphia and met with Nintendo and saw some good stuff there. And Mike was talking about Wind Waker HD. One of the things, actually, I don't know if you checked out yet, but there's some cool co-op-ish stuff in it, actually.
I guess the bottle messages to finish the quest and stuff.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool. You can leave messages for people and stuff, and there's some quest integration with that. And so, yeah, we saw that. We also got hands-on with the new Donkey Kong Frozen Jungle. I can't remember the exact name of it.
Let's just say Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
But it makes me happy.
It just got delayed, actually. But we got to play some co-op of that. We played Donkey Kong and Diddy Kong. And I tell you what, that was the most fun I had with a Nintendo game in a while.
Nice. Well, Retro's doing that, right? Because the Donkey Kong Country Returns on the Wii was really good.
Yeah. Trying to think what else we got. We got some hands-on with the new Mario World game. It's 3D, four-player co-op. Demand. And, you know, the really great thing about it, and I said this to the guy there, is if you like the recent Mario Brothers reboots, the side-scrollers and stuff with the co-op, but were annoyed where how you constantly, like, ran into each other and stuff, like, the 3D of this helps alleviate that. So it's much easier to do, like, the platforming sections and go through the world and stuff and not, like, annoy everybody because you're jumping on their head or knocking them off ledges and stuff like that. So, yeah, there's some good co-op stuff there coming from Nintendo. Held the 2DS thing, which actually surprisingly felt solid, decent, comfortable, despite its weird-looking form factor.
That's how Nintendo rolls, right? It's yeah. Like, I don't know about this, and you put your hands on it, you're like, okay.
Yeah. I don't want to buy one or anything, but I see the market, I guess, for it.
6-year-olds who want to play Pokemon?
Yeah.
With overprotective parents who don't want them to blast their eyeballs out with the 3D effect.
That's but yeah, so we checked out some Nintendo stuff, and then we headed downtown to a Microsoft event where they were showing Xbox One to the public, and got right in there, got some hands-on time with they had Killzone. Killer Instinct, Dead Rising 3, Forza 5, what else do they have? Zoo Tycoon.
Of all things.
Yeah. Well, what's funny is Zoo Tycoon was the game that impressed me the most. Which might be sad, but...
Is that funny haha or funny uh-oh? I'm not
sure yet. No, like, seriously, like, it's going to be good. Like, it's going to be one of those... You know, I got the Roller Coaster Tycoon... feel kind of addictiveness to it. Like, there's lots of cool little micromanaged stuff you can do. There's going to be between like 75 and 100 animals you can put in it, multiple upgrades to each animal thing. But the cool thing, 4-player online co-op, what it'll do is it'll keep the zoos in the cloud. You know, everything's got to use the cloud. But the good thing about that is, like, you don't have to be there and, like, always host a thing. So, like, you know, maybe me and Mike decide to start working on a zoo and we invite Locke and Jason. But we sign off, they sign on, and they can go and keep working on the zoo together and stuff. And keep rolling through that. And they said there'll be challenges and things like that for the co-op. But the really cool thing about it is not only is there, like, the top-down view and you can kind of, you know, do things, but you can actually drop into like a third person view and go all Pokemon Snap, go around your zoo, take some pictures, drive a little buggy. But the reason it impressed me, I mean, not just in terms of like the addictiveness of it and gameplay, but like it looked really good. Like, it's one of the best looking games I've seen in a while. That, you know, they nailed the character models for the animals, and the textures are really, really high res looking, and I won't say photorealistic because they didn't go for super hyper realism, but everything looks really good.
Did they look like Kinectimals?
No. Well, kind of. Yeah, I mean, they definitely went that style.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely a step up.
Tell me about Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct, it's... You know, I played a lot of Killer Instinct 2 in the arcades back in the day. So it still had a lot of the same mechanics, right? With, you know, the combos and the combo breakers and all that other kind of stuff. There was only like four characters to choose from in the demo we played.
It's because they hadn't paid for the rest yet.
Yeah, yeah. So it's free to play, which is kind of bizarre. It's supposed to be, I think it's like $5 a character, but they have like two or three different bundles that include more. The character models are definitely like super detailed. Like I was Glacius, and like, you know, there's like ice chunks kind of coming all over, and as he gets hit, you see him like breaking off and falling off. And
is Fulgore in it? Can you be the robot knight with the razor blade hands?
It wasn't in the version we played. It was.
I played a lot of Killer Instinct.
You and me both.
Yeah.
I know, Jace. My cartridge was put into various Super Nintendo's in my neighborhood so many times that there is a thumbprint worn out of the center
just
of the cartridge.
Just sounds so dirty.
We just... I really want that to be good.
I don't think it's gonna be a bad game by any means. It'll just be interesting to see how it catches on with the model they decide to go. I was a little disappointed with Forza 5. Like, I expected it to look like super awesome. It looked good. It looked moderately better than Forza 4, I guess. The thing that Forza shows off really well is how awesome the new controller is. In terms of the feedback it provides, like, you feel like you're driving a car. You can feel brakes slipping in the triggers and stuff, and you can, you know, when the tires, if you hit the gas too hard and they're not gripping, you can feel like there's just that feedback they give in the triggers with the new, I'll say, rumble motors, but it's calling them rumble is really a disservice to how many sensations they were able to create just in the few games that I played. So what was interesting, the guy was saying that basically they work so well that if you ever played a Forza game, there's a lot of assists you can basically turn on depending on how you want to drive, anti-lock brakes, you know, the guidelines and things like that, depending on how hardcore you want to play. They said that basically, because of the feedback from the controller, a lot of people turn that stuff off now because they know how to drive, and the feedback required for those things is being gotten through the controller instead of visually. So that's it's pretty interesting there. Hmm. It just overall the controller just feels really solid. It's not that the Xbox controller ever felt like cheap and plasticky, but like this just, I don't know, it has like a nice texture to it. The analog sticks, they're a little bit skinnier, but your thumb like fits into them a little bit better. It's a little bit taller in terms of the distance they are.
I got my hands on one when I played Crimson Dragon at E3, and they felt really nice. So
yeah, there's a lot of subtle changes that, yeah, I can sit here and tell you about them, but until you grip it, you're like, oh yeah, okay, I get it. Yeah, this feels good. What else did we play there? Dead Rising 3, that was another somewhat of a disappointment. There was, you know, millions of zombies on the screen, which was impressive, but the zombies were really low res. They were billboardy looking, if you know what billboard textures look like in a game. Like, that's the best way to describe it. Like, not that they were 2D sprites, but that's almost the...
Muddy,
visual
maybe.
Yeah, muddy. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. And the combat, like, it was kind of just like a throw you into an area, here's a whole bunch of weapons and kill zombies over and over kind of a thing. The combat itself isn't that satisfying. Like, you can't, like, dismember them or... I don't know. It just felt very shallow. Yeah, it you know, you hit a guy, like, in the leg or something, you expect him to kind of lose a leg and drop down, and it's kind of like they'll do it, but only once they die, they like kind of fall apart or stuff. I don't know, it just wasn't that impressive.
Well, that's depressing.
Yeah, so
I didn't like Dead Rising 2, so I wasn't really getting my hopes up too much for 3, so, but it's still sad.
And the final game we played in co-op was Rise. We played the Gladiator Coliseum mode. It was actually more fun than I expected it to be. It plays a bit like a brawler. There's multiple like objectives. Basically, every wave it randomly gives you an objective, like whether it's just killing all the guys, defending a certain area. There was one where enemies would spawn from these bunkers in the ground, and you had to knock over vats of boiling oil into the bunkers to stop them from spawning. It looked pretty good. The only downside I thought was in terms of co-op, like it didn't feel like I needed to have a co-op partner there. Really, there's no like cool co-op moves, like
right.
You know, let me jump off your shield and slice the guy's head. Yeah, I don't know.
So
I don't know what I was expecting, but
the demo they showed at E3 of the single player portion of that looked like it was really QTE heavy. Did that translate into the co-op at all? It sounds like it didn't.
No. I mean, it played like I said, it played like a brawler. Like I'll say God of War in terms of combat, just not as fast. It's more like heavy feeling combat. You have like a quick and a heavy attack, and you know if you hold the quick attack, it does a certain kind of thing, and depending on which direction you're facing, and then you build up like meters and stuff, and you can do finishers on guys and things like that. But there was no like. There was no quick time events actually at all in terms
That's
of
good.
the co-op part. So, yeah, I mean, I read some stuff actually after E3 that where they said that the game isn't like that. That was just what they set up for the demo.
They intentionally made their game look lame.
Yeah, it's like
sweet.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mark, are you okay?
Yeah. Well.
I calls it like I sees it, man. I'm sorry.
Oh no, I appreciate that.
So let's wrap things up with a little bit of discussion. I mean, it's not a whole lot to talk about, but the big news of the month was Valve had a trio of announcements. They announced Steam Machines, Steam OS, and a Steam Controller coming sometime
Which
next
were all
year.
All secret cover-ups for Half-Life 3, if you read into the images.
Yeah, everyone thinks it's Half-Life 3, right? It's not. But yeah, so SteamOS, big news there. It's a Linux-based OS that'll be focused on streaming media content, as well as games from a PC running Steam. You can stream any game, and it will also run games natively, I guess, that support SteamOS.
Have they said anything about whether they are going to put some kind of Windows wrapper like Wine or whatever the current equivalent is into this? Because
no, well, it's just streaming. That's what they're doing.
I guess my big beef with this is if I'm going to buy a Steam box, if I was in the market for a Steam box, I wanted a PC to play games on, I would want to just not have to have another PC that was capable of playing those games on the network.
Yeah.
My opinion of the Steam box is,
what if you don't stream from your network though? What if that's phase one? What if phase two is stream from the cloud?
Then I'll buy the second version of the Steam box.
it would probably be at the OS level that something like that's happening.
Phase three, sure. It streams from the chip in
your
head.
But that's the thing, is it feels like. So NVIDIA, you know, released the Shield, right? And you're like, stream stuff from your PC to this little handheld to a different room. And this feels like it's not really anything different on its own. It's, you know, it'll play the handful of Linux games that will obviously, with the big focus of indie games out there that support Linux, it will have a lot to do. And there's already, what, I think they said 300 games on Steam that support Linux.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, if I want to play a game on my TV, you know, my big screen, you'd think you'd want some of the spectacle type stuff, and none of that is really supported on Linux. So I'd be streaming it from a machine that was already probably at least $1,000 worth of hardware, and I just, unless these things are dirt cheap, I feel like they're gonna, it's gonna be a real weird situation for a while until Linux gaming catches up. And maybe it's the Trojan horse that brings Linux gaming up to modern standards, but, you know, they've only said, like, the only, like, NVIDIA constantly says, oh, we're going to support Linux, we're going to do more for Linux, and they never have, and they've said that they're going to work with Valve on this OS, but...
Well, the problem isn't NVIDIA. The problem is too many games rely on DirectX, and that'll never be fully supported in Linux, right?
Sure, until everybody moves to OpenGL, ES 3.0, or...
Unity.
AMD actually has a DirectX competitor that they've been working on. I just heard about.
They have the. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, they just announced it, and Battlefield 4 is supporting.
Yeah.
We're going back to 3DFX Glide days here.
You're gonna put a Glide wrapper around my TNT drivers.
Yeah.
So I can play Quake 3.
Like I said, I just brought up Unity, right?
Yeah.
I'm seeing a lot of developers moving towards it, both indie and mainstream. And now that both Xbox One, PlayStation 4 are going to support it, Wii U supports it.
Yeah.
It's a very powerful creation suite. I mean, you won't see AAA titles utilizing it, but I think a lot of the mid-tier stuff, those, you know, like the Calypso,
yep,
yeah,
kind of published stuff, like I wouldn't be surprised to see more of those companies using Unity to put out their games.
Yeah, so. And I think Monogame is pretty well supported now too. I'm pretty sure Bastion got converted to that once it went multi-platform.
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, even Bastion, they have the browser HTML5 version of their game, right?
Yeah.
Is that what it runs in? HTML5 or something?
We can talk about the misnomer that HTML5 is, but yes, there is a browser version of Bastion.
It's only Chrome, right? Because it uses the just-in-time compiled stuff.
Yeah, it's a Chrome app.
So the final piece of this puzzle, which we haven't even talked about, is the controller, which is a pretty big departure from what we've seen.
They're pulling a Nintendo.
Exactly, right? Changing it up. Basically, instead of analog sticks, they've got these touchpad areas.
With haptic feedback.
That provide haptic feedback. There's also a dedicated touchpad in the middle of the controller with a little screen for kind of dynamic buttons. And then you've also got your traditional kind of button placements around the controller as well. I forget the number off the top of my head. I want to say 21, 23 buttons.
Well, there's two shoulder triggers. There's triggers on the rear. And then both touchpads click in. And I don't know if you click it in, like if you click at the top or the bottom, it counts as a different one. It might.
Yeah. So the interesting thing is the controller will work with every single game that's on Steam. And the reason it will work with every single game that's on Steam is because it basically can trick the game into thinking it's a keyboard and mouse.
I think the left trackpad is like mouse pointer, but the two clicks on the trackpads registers left and right mouse by default.
Yeah.
Or something. And then they said that they're going to allow people to make custom controller mappings and then share that through like the Steam guides and stuff. So
nice.
If you can't figure out how to configure your game really well, someone's probably already done the work for you.
Yeah. That's been the big announcements. But in terms of, like, you know, you could speculate a lot at this point. What's going to be what? I mean, like, for instance, the Steam Box stuff, right? They're working with hardware partners to put it out. They didn't give specs, but what they did is they said there's going to be a beta, and then they said, well, here's what our beta will contain. And the range of specs on the beta boxes are from, range from, like, three-year-old hardware to modern beasts, like Titan, GeForce Titan was one of the possibilities.
Wow,
that'll be in it. So I'm, you know, it sounds like there's going to be, you know, high, middle, low tier options for Steam Box, and I'm guessing that, I don't know, they're going to have to do something in terms of like specs and what you can play and how that'll be, integrated into the Steam store.
Hey, if I can get Windows off the machine that I only use for gaming, I'm all for it. But...
yeah.
Because I don't mind Windows 8, but I don't like the direction Windows is going. And the only reason I keep it around is because it's the only OS that plays all the games I want to play right now.
True yeah. that.
So, anyway, I think that's about it. I don't know if you guys have anything else to I might have missed to talk about.
I got nothing.
None.
I'm good.
All right. Well, what do we got here? Let's wrap things up. We've got iOS, Windows Phone, and Android apps. We also got a kick-ass mobile site, so you can always visit us
and we just
your
fixed
phone.
It.
Yes, and we're continuing to fix it and make it better. Split Reason t-shirts. I know we say it all the time. I don't know if there's any there or not.
Maybe we should just stop saying it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm deleting it now. Goodbye.
No.
Leave us feedback on iTunes. We love feedback. And you can follow us on Twitter. We are Co-Optimist without the dash. We are also on Google Plus. We have a Co-Optimist page that is now fully integrated with our YouTube channel and everything else, including integration with this podcast.
Yes.
Which means we can do live Q&A, which Amy gave us a few questions regarding our wardrobe. So thanks for that, Amy.
Who knows what's to come in the future.
Yeah, so we'll integrate the podcast also with the site a little bit better in the future. We have some stuff planned there, so even just visiting the front page, you'll be able to see our lovely faces when we're streaming live.
It's great.
Yes.
You're going to love it.
So, yep, that's it. This is Co-Opticast episode 114. It's Monday, October the 7th. Thanks for listening.
Be safe.
And the broadcast is ending.